Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to see everybody this morning. I am glad that we were able to have snow last week, but I am more glad that it has started to warm up just a bit. Glad that we're all able to be here this morning. All right, so we're going to be over in 2 Kings chapter 22, but right before we get over into there, I'm sure some of y'all probably looked at my sermon title for this morning and thought, that seems a little weird. It seems kind of a hard sermon title, right? Sounds like I'm going to get up here and immediately tell you that whatever you're doing is wrong. Which, of course, that always makes people really happy, right? You're wrong. You're doing the wrong thing, right? That's why everybody likes to get directions, right? Okay, just go ahead and ask for directions. Come on, it's not a big deal. You get the piece of furniture from IKEA, and it comes with a little instruction manual. And you're like, I don't need that. It's a bunch of cubes. I know how cubes go together. I'm sure Kelsey could tell you, though, that I have always needed the instructions for those things. Always have a harder time figuring it out, because I always think I know what the right way is, and then it never ends up being. But I specifically got this sermon title from a scene in a movie. There it is. So this is from a movie called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. There is this scene in the movie where these two guys, they are trying to get home for Thanksgiving. Okay, so they're driving deep into the night, two guys that you'll see on the right here, and they're driving late at night, and one of them makes a wrong turn. And so they are driving into oncoming traffic. Okay, but it's because it's so late in the middle of the night, nobody is actively driving up against them. So they're just, we're just chilling, you know, the roads are kind of empty, they're just driving. And all of a sudden, somebody comes up, you know, beyond the median, and is driving up next to him, and he's yelling at him. So Steve Martin's character, he rolls down his window and he's going, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. And he kind of looks over at the other guy and he's like, "Who's? How does this guy know where we're going? How do they know where we're going?" And they're just like, this guy's crazy. And the other guy, he's like, oh, he's probably drunk, which is why he's doing that. He's going, oh, you're probably drunk. That's why you think we're going the wrong way. So he rolls the window back up and they just keep driving. And the guy keeps yelling at him, you're going the wrong way. And they're still just like, this guy, he's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. This guy is obviously impaired. He doesn't know where I'm going. Whatever. So they keep driving. Well, eventually when two semis are coming towards them, it becomes very apparent that, okay, yeah, we might be going the wrong way, you know, and they barely make it in between the semis, and it's kind of wacky and zany, but it does kind of teach us something interesting about the way that we kind of perceive ourselves. And it's this immediate, okay, you're going the wrong way. Well, how do you know where I'm going? You don't know which way I'm headed. How do you know? Who are you to tell me where I'm going? Which brings us into 2 Kings chapter 22 here. So I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, and the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the left or to the right. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king of Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the secretary to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. And let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it to the workmen who were at the house of the Lord, repairing the house, that is, to the carpenters and to the builders and to the masons. And let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly. So, because Josiah follows God, because he's trying to stay close to whatever God's told him to do, he decides to send these workers up to go and repair the temple, repair the house of the Lord. So we immediately would start to ask, well, why does the temple need to be repaired, right? It seems like the temple is always something that should remain in good standing. It should always be taken care of. But for some reason, it's fallen into this disrepair. And if we look back, you can just glance back at chapter 21, just the section before in 22. Amnon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Shulamith, and the daughter of Haruz, the Jotba. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. Okay, so we could pretty easily tell Josiah's predecessor was not doing what God wanted him to do. He was doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Manasseh before that also did evil. So he comes from kind of a line of people who didn't really have things figured out, weren't really doing exactly what they were supposed to do, which is what leads the temple to be in disrepair. But Josiah gets these people, tells them, go up, we're going to take up this collection, go repair the temple, we're going to leave it with trustworthy people so that we don't have to worry about it. Okay, so then we get into verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, came to the king and reported to the king, your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. I really wonder how he felt. And kind of the way this is written, we kind of almost get this sense he seems a little nervous to be bringing this book before Josiah. Because nobody wants to be the one to tell the king, hey, you're going the wrong way. Because the king's the highest guy in the land. The king doesn't like what you say, he can just have you killed. So, or he can just be really upset, and then he could shoot the messenger, literally. So he seems kind of nervous, which is why he tells him all the stuff, hey, we gave the money to whoever was supposed to have it, so we're all good. Oh, and by the way, he found this book. So he reads this book to him. And we can deduce from at this point in the story, this book was probably not what was being followed, right? Because if this book was what was being followed, it would have been respected enough that it wouldn't have been hidden, it wouldn't have been lost, it wouldn't have been out of sight, it would have been in a temple that was in repair instead of disrepair. So we can kind of tell, okay, Josiah is going to be at this decision point. He's going to figure out you're going the wrong way. There's kind of two ways this could go. So the first way this could go is that he just decides, okay, you're drunk, you're crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, I know what I'm doing here, all right? So just automatically question that authority. You don't know where I'm going. You don't know what I'm doing. Who are you to tell me what to do? Okay? And that would be something that's really easy to do, right? You don't know where I'm going. You don't know what I'm about. This is not really your business. He could have also easily said, well, I'm just doing what my forefathers did. I'm just kind of following in their path. This is not my fault. I'm a victim of circumstance here. I've been put in this tough position where I'm just kind of supposed to do what they did, right? I don't want to say that my dad did it wrong. I don't want to say my grandpa did it wrong. So I'm just going to keep doing it this way because that's kind of comfortable. And of course, there's always the other side of it, which is he could then say, all right, yeah, I have been going the wrong way. I do need to change some things. But what is that going to require of him? There's a whole lot of people in Israel who were very happy with the way things were. There doesn't seem to be any kind of uprising. There doesn't seem to be any kind of upset. So he is going to aggravate a whole lot of people by switching things up, by doing things the way God wants him to. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really difficult to do. So those are kind of his two options. We continue reading down into verse 11. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahakam, the son of Shaphan, and Akbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan, the secretary, and Azariah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. He hears this, and he immediately tears his clothes. He tears his garments. Well, again, we're starting to think, this is a king. He's probably got pretty expensive clothes. He's probably got pretty nice clothes. You wouldn't want to tear those on a daily basis, probably. And of course, this sign of him tearing his clothes is this sign of deep mourning. And later in the text, we'll also read that it says that he weeps as well. So he is weeping and tearing his clothes, and he is mourning. He immediately realizes, we are doing the wrong thing. We are not doing it right. I am driving into oncoming traffic, so to speak. I'm going the wrong way. And he starts to feel this intense sadness and this mourning this disobedience, this loss of time that he and his people have had, that they've not been following God. And he starts to mourn this, but But he doesn't just leave it in this phase of mourning. He doesn't just say, oh man, I'm so torn up. This is bad. We are in a really bad spot. Okay, well, that's too bad. That's kind of sad. He immediately talks to somebody and he says, we've got to find out what's going on. We've got to figure out a way to fix this. We've got to find some way to resolve the issue that's going on here because we are not going the right way at all. So he ends up sending somebody. They end up going and talking to this prophetess. And then later in chapter 23, we see that Josiah starts having a lot of reforms. He starts doing a lot of work. He starts finding all of these high places where they would have done all these pagan worship. They would have worshipped other gods. There was, in fact, one place, it is Topheth, that we read about later in chapter 23, where they were actually sacrificing children to this god Molech. So there were people in Israel who, because they had been going the wrong way for so long, they were sacrificing their own children to some kind of false idol. And we immediately think, how in the world does that seem right? How does that start to seem like the thing to do? But I think for the people of Israel, if you start going in the wrong direction long enough, it starts to seem like the right direction. In this scene that I mentioned earlier, I mean, these guys had been on this road driving the wrong way for quite a long time. And if you start driving the wrong way long enough and you don't see anybody coming the other way, you're like, oh, I guess I'm going the right way. I guess I'm doing all right. It starts getting easy to make that wrong turn and to keep going in the wrong direction. But he figures out, okay, this is the wrong way. We are going in the wrong direction. We got to fix this, and we got to fix it now. So he starts doing, there is lots of burning. There is lots of destruction going on in chapter 23. He is really trying his hardest to right the ship and to fix it. In the same way now, we come before the Lord's table and we take of this communion. We remember the sacrifice that Christ gave for us on the cross, that he died for our sin. He died because I'm going the wrong way. He died because I have a hard time keeping it together, keeping it between the ditches. So now is a good time for me to kind of look around to see if there's a wrong way sign in front of me and figure out which way I'm going. It's a good time for all of us to do that, to figure out if we're going the right way or not. And if we're going the wrong way, there's always this moment of remorse and this moment of sadness. And we feel kind of down and we say, oh, man, I cannot believe I've been going the wrong way. I cannot believe I haven't been doing it right. But it can't end there. We can't say, oh, man, I've been doing it wrong. I should probably do it the right way. Ah, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it when it's more comfortable. We have to immediately say, okay, I've been doing it wrong. There's lost time here. I've got this remorse. But that remorse needs to power me into doing what I've got to do. And doing what you've got to do, it is not comfortable. It is not fun. Josiah was probably getting lots of pushback as he's burning down all these altars, burning down all these monuments to other gods. There are people who valued that. Josiah didn't care. He said, this is what I'm doing. This is what God's telling me to do. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to burn it down if I have to. If you're serving on the table, please come forward now. So the last question I want to leave you with, as we take part in this moment, as we think of this sacrifice that Christ gave for us, the blood that he shed so that we might one day live at home with him, are you going the wrong way?